The marijuana trade is booming in Oregon, and in some cases that verb is accidentally literal. The process of getting just the THC, the high, out of marijuana produces an oil, generally called butane honey oil, or BHO. Note the use of the term butane, an explosive substance, which in some labs does indeed explode and spread a fire. Josephine County leads the state in BHO lab seizures through the first 10 months of the year, and it had two explosions in that time as well. Two guests join us to talk about the issue with BHO labs. Dave Daniel is the Josephine County Sheriff. Sheriff, thanks for joining us today.
No, Jeff, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back. Dennis Hoke is with us as well. He is a fire chief and paramedic with the Illinois Valley Fire District. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, good morning.
So, Sheriff, let's start with you. I see the numbers through October, 10 lab seizures. Have there been any additional seizures in November?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And a combination of your department and others, or is this all yours?
Well, it's others, too. It's state police, it's the city of Grants Pass, and also the sheriff's office.
All right. But, is it way above what other counties in the state are seeing?
I believe so. I mean, we certainly have this is kind of the mecca of marijuana growing in the state of Oregon, maybe along with Jackson County. So it's definitely proficient.
Why do you suppose it is the mecca of marijuana growing?
It's the climate, Jeff, I guess.
It's the climate.
I don't know what to say. We're sunny southern Oregon, and it grows well down here.
It does indeed. Dennis Hoke, give us an understanding of the process to make BHO and how well you understand it.
Yeah, the process is they take marijuana and they take byproducts like the stem and the stalks and those kind of things, and they put it in a tube. And then due to availability and cost, most of them use butane. There is other products that could be used, but most of them use butane and run it through. And then it creates an oil and then at the bottom of the tube, and then it drips out, and then that's how they get their BHO. And, of course, the problem is that butane is highly flammable, and they usually have a lot of the butane, and they wind up, other spark-producing devices are in the home or wherever they're doing this at, and, of course, then it explodes.
Is butane come in a liquid form in this?
Actually, they're using it as an aerosol. It has to be an aerosol.
Uh-huh. So then you got butane floating around through the air, and that would, it seemed to me, lead to heighten the risk of explosion.
Yeah, one of our explosions, the gentleman was doing the process, and at the same time he was grinding a metal spoon right next to it. And blew the house up and blew him out of the house, and we found him laying in the middle of the street with some pretty significant burns.
Where are people obtaining this much butane? I mean, it is lighter fluid, right?
Every pot shop in town sells it.
Really? Yep. In what kinds of quantities?
It comes in a canister, an aerosol can. Mm-hmm. So they're buying cases. We found in one lab, we found over 100 cases, and there's 12 in a case. In one storage area. And so the risk for us, obviously, is if it blows up and they have the explosion, but then we have the bigger risk to the firefighters. We're going on a medical call or we're going to a kitchen fire completely unrelated to the process, and now we've got a huge amount of a flammable aerosol inside of the building. And so we get firefighters in there, and all of a sudden we have explosion. We're going to kill firefighters.
Right. How many lab seizures or issues have you to deal with just in the IV fire district?
We've had 5 explosions. Here, and all 4 of those were using butane. One of them was one of the largest illegal labs that they found in the state, and it was they were using propane, and they literally had 20 propane cylinders hooked up going into the building. And again, when it blew up, the individual was severely burned, as what usually happens. And we even had Portland Fire Bureau and Portland PD came down to look at this, because they are having the same problems in Portland. They had not seen an operation to that extent.
So it made something of a teachable moment, it sounds like.
It did, from the fire response and from the law enforcement response. We had not seen the use of propane, particularly with that amount of quantity, because you can also use carbon dioxide. It just, you need an aerosol. But it's just propane and butane are just more readily available.
We are talking about butane honey oil labs, and in some cases they are propane labs, as you can hear from Dennis Hoke, who's the fire chief of the Illinois Valley Fire District and a paramedic himself. Dave Daniels, the Josephine County Sheriff. This is a discussion you're welcome to join with questions and comments. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Sheriff, it seems like there's so much risk there. I mean, is this enough of a moneymaker to be attractive despite that risk?
Yeah, I think it is. I definitely think it is. We're seeing these things all over the place. When you go to different properties, there's butane canisters laying around, and certainly not all of it is unlawful, but certainly highly unregulated, and there is money in it for sure.
So we mentioned already that Josephine County is popular, the Mecca with Jackson County for marijuana growing in the state. What kinds of training have you had to do for your own people in the sheriff's office?
Yeah, you know, we just keep an eye out. I mean, that's all there is to it. Is if you go to a scene, obviously if there's a fire, sometimes the law enforcement's there on scene first. It's just caution. So I caution my troops to just keep an eye out for it. And be careful, and certainly notify our fire districts that there's the possibility thereof.
Dennis Hoke, is there any additional equipment that your folks carry now, or any additional training you've given them to get them ready for situations?
All of our folks have been trained, and for us, every time we go out the door, we're automatically suspecting that they have an illegal lab of some sorts, be it BHO or a meth, where they're doing meth operations. Because we just, you know, we have to assume that the worst, and you know, we're not the only ones experiencing the explosions. Of course, Portland has had a few. Medford's had, I believe, 8. Ashland has had 1. What's interesting is we have 6 legal, or we have 6 commercial BHO operations that are trying to get permitted through the county. They're currently producing because they haven't got all their permit stuff done yet. But it's...
Oh, boy. Somebody have to leave?
Yep, no. But the commercial operations, they're doing it much more safe. They're well-ventilated. They understand the risk. They understand the hazards of what they're doing. And they're trying to do it right by getting the appropriate permits, you know, both from the county and from the state. It's the ones that's the, you know, the for lack of a better term, the mom-and-pop operations where they're doing it in a trailer, in their home, in a garage, and they don't understand the ignition source is as simple as a light switch. If they're within the explosive limit, you know, the spark of a light switch will cause the explosion.
Well, you know, that's what makes this really interesting, Dave Daniel. I mean, we are talking about marijuana being legal in Oregon to produce and to use for personal use. How confusing is it to you in law enforcement? I mean, is it as confusing to you in law enforcement as it is to the general public to try to keep up with all the changes in laws, what's legal, what's not, what's permitted, what's not?
I don't know. Yeah, it's catching up, Jeff. That's really what we need to do here in the state of Oregon. We enacted and voted in Measure 91, which legalized marijuana, and to be quite honest with you, the legislation wasn't set up properly. I don't need to convince anybody of that, at least in Southern Oregon. And so it's a catch-up game, and we're doing that, I believe. I mean, these BHO labs, Chief Hoke stated, are the mom-and-pop ones are the dangerous ones. Many of the mom-and-pop ones are, I guess we'll call them, on small scale, but they're black market. They're going across the state. I investigated a death of an individual who was in a small shop, and he was doing just that, but he was shipping this honey oil across the nation, to Massachusetts. And that's what makes it so dangerous is they're clandestine. They're not the ones that are doing it properly and are commercialized and obviously, as Chief Hoke said, have good ventilation and things like that, which is increased danger to everybody, but it's a moneymaker. They know that, and until we can, as law enforcement, can get caught up with what's going on, and we're working diligently at doing that right now, but it obviously takes time.
So the money trumps the risk at this point for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Dave Daniel is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Josephine County Sheriff, with Dennis Hoke, the Illinois Valley Fire District Chief and a paramedic, and here's a call from Tony in Gold Hill. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. I was just calling because there's a couple things stated that I wanted to clarify.
Go ahead.
In by state law, aerosol canned butane is not allowed to be used in butane honey oil extraction units. It is used a closed loop system, which has gaskets and seals. It is a full lab setup that costs upwards of $10,000. And aerosol is absolutely not needed. It comes in a liquid form, and that is the way that the state has ordained us to do it.
All right.
I was just clarifying that because there was some misconception on what it was.
Okay, thanks for that. Appreciate it, Tony. So, Dennis, you mentioned the aerosols, though, but can butane be used in the liquid forms? I mean, when I think of butane, I think of lighter fluid and the old refillable lighters.
Yeah, so it is. So it is in a liquid form that is aerosolized once it hits the goes into the atmosphere as they put it into the tube, and that's how they sell it. But he's absolutely right. The commercial operators that are trying to do it correctly are not using butane. They're using other products. Like I say, we have one that's actually using CO2, or carbon dioxide, to do the extraction process. Much safer, carbon dioxide, obviously not flammable, and, you know, not it really is, presents very little risk when they, you know, use a non-flammable product to do the extraction.
Let me back up a couple of steps here because, Dennis, you mentioned meth labs you're still dealing with. I want to ask Sheriff Daniel about that. Are you still running into a lot of meth labs as well as the BHO labs?
No, we're not. No, we're not. Association of Oregon County's lawyer, our Bavette, basically, and previous governor, was in getting the pseudoephedrine off of the, you know, away from the available market was huge. So we're really not seeing the quantity of meth labs or the number of meth labs that we used to see.
So did the growth of the butane honey oil labs come on rather suddenly? Was it something you anticipated, or did they just explode? Well, I hate to use the word explode in this context, but you get me.
Yeah, I did, Jeff. I do. It has grown significantly, as has the entire industry for the cannabis production. So it is something that is fairly new to us.
Dennis Hoke, for the firefighter and paramedic crews, I mean, are you constantly training for new issues, new threats, things that you haven't found in people's homes and structures before that you're finding now?
Yeah, absolutely, because, like I say, we have to treat, you know, each one of our incidents as a, you know, as a hazmat until it's proven otherwise. So, you know, we're highly suspicious every time we go to a structure fire. We had a structure fire 2 days ago on a, you know, in a questionable property that, you know, it was a big issue that, you know, do we have a, you know, any type of a cook operation going on? Are they doing a BHO? Are they cooking inside the building? This particular one is the people that already left, but it was one of our known less than desirable properties here in town, and more than likely was a drug house. So we have to go into those types of situations, assuming that we're going to be exposed to hazardous materials, so our wearing the proper protective equipment is an absolute, because we don't want to put our firefighters at risk. We're primarily a volunteer fire department, and it really doesn't make a difference, career or volunteer. Nobody signs up to be exposed to that stuff.
Is it harder to get volunteers over the years?
It nationwide, it's harder to get volunteers. The requirements have increased. The risk has increased. We've got some pretty unique challenges in the Illinois Valley with a lack of law enforcement, particularly late at night. And so we have a lot of related calls that deal with that. And we just have to stage and wait until we get OSP in or off-duty people to come and make sure the scene is secure.
That was the next question. So you do sometimes get called out to situations where there should be law enforcement backup, and you just wait until they get there.
True. And we have a great staging policy. Our challenge is when people call in false calls, and they'll say one thing, and it's really another. You know, example is a person's called in, you know, chest pain, and, well, they've got chest pain because they've been stabbed in the chest.
Which is really a law enforcement first response. But
exactly.
So what do you do in that situation if somebody's life is threatened, but you're also, the safety of your crews is threatened as well?
Right. And so we, you know, if we have the information, we don't respond until the scene has been secured by law enforcement. We're not, you know, that's not the role for fire and EMS. So, you know, both the Illinois Valley Fire District and the other fire agencies within Josephine County have very stringent rules on staging. And so we'll not make entry, and it's unfortunate. People have died because of this, and I'm not going to put our people at risk. Our challenge is when a call deteriorates. We get on scene, call goes south, and, you know, we don't have, you know, we have an extended response time at night to for some assistance, and we just have to back out. That's all we can do.
So, Sheriff, with the levy having passed to provide some more money for the sheriff's office in the November election, how soon can you begin to beef up some patrols?
Well, we're in the process right now. I mean, I'm basically adding seven different resident deputies, three resident deputies, and four more deputies. But it takes time. It takes time to hire people. It's a process. It's up to almost a year, basically, and that's industry wide, not just our agency. The training and the recruitment process is in the background process. Psychological exams. We have to be very thorough, because when you're putting people out there on the street with guns and badges, we have to make sure that they're the right people for the job.
Anything commercially or legally you think might help curtail the BHO labs in the near future?
Boy, I don't know. Like I said, they don't commercially. The people that are permitted and doing things properly, they're doing it right. And still, you're always going to have that underground that are going to create risks.
All right. The risks indeed exist there. And we had 10 butane honey oil lab seizures in Josephine County through October. That's the highest number in any Oregon county year to date, and two lab explosions over the course of this year so far. Dave Daniels, the sheriff of Josephine County. Dennis Hoke is the chief of the Illinois Valley Fire District and a paramedic himself. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.